Podcast Detroit studios in the heart of the Motor City. This is Art Junkies. All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 28 of Art Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight. It is Monday, February 19th, 2018. Looking a little gloomy here in Detroit right now, but it is what it is. It's going to be a fantastic day. I'm getting ready to go to work myself, so I figured I'm going to do my intro real quick and get you guys out an episode. But before I get too far, let's pay some bills. This episode is brought to you by the Falling Down Beer Company, located at 10 and DeQuinder in Warren, Michigan. The Falling Down Beer Company so graciously sponsors this podcast and this network, Podcast Detroit, fueling the interviews that went down with Ninja Chicken. It was absolutely wonderfully tasty, beautiful, delicious, golden joy Ninja Chicken from the Falling Down Beer Company. And they so graciously decided to sponsor this episode. So go to the Falling Down Beer Company in Warren, Michigan, and mention Podcast Detroit and receive $1 off of your first pint. Falling Down Beer Company, you can check them out further at fallingdownbeer.com. All right, this episode, I'm changing things around. Things have definitely changed since I took on this new shift. And, I'm back on second shift for those that missed last week's episode. And it's caused me to change things in my life, especially how this show is produced. I wanted to do two shows a week and get a Monday and Wednesday show out. And now that I've had to switch shifts and add 16 extra hours a week to my work week, things have definitely taken a toll on this actual show. The job I had before this, I was doing just 40 hours. There was no overtime at all. I'm kind of just like an on-call maintenance welder. That was great. It paid very well. But even with the no overtime, which in my opinion, that's where welding, you really make your money, is in the overtime, and that's why there's so much of it. It got to the point where I'm just kind of sitting around. I'm not doing much at all. Maybe one or two, maybe 3 hours worth of actual work a day. And I'm going home, making not that great, but I mean, great for 40 hours of not doing anything. I've worked a lot harder for a lot less, put it that way. But eventually it started to, really wear on me, the fact that I'm not doing anything. And it was heavily regulated, which I get it for the industry. It was the private aerospace industry. Things like that have to be very heavily regulated. But I had to come to a choice where I was offered a job. It was on second shift, but it was more hours, a little less hourly, but 6 miles away from my house versus the hour that I was driving. So I had to kind of weigh out the pros and cons. Do I take the job that's, $2 less an hour, but 16 more hours a week at time and a half and double time on Sunday if needed? Also, it's a union. Also, it's 6 miles from my house. Now, the only trade-off is it is second shift. It's afternoons. So you have to talk that over with your wife, because if you're married, you have a wife, and you have to kind of figure these things out together. Is this going to be something that you're going to be able to work on as a couple? And my wife is very cool. I'm fortunate enough to have a wife that's very supportive in this. So I'm on second shift now, and I'm trying to get things acclimated and get the show to be able to still produce while my shift has changed. So that's why these intros are going to be recorded Monday, and the show isn't going to be dropped Monday morning, early Monday morning, like it was always before. It's going to be more probably in the afternoons now that it's going to be released. So you'll get it Monday evenings. And then as far as the Wednesday shows, because my scheduling has forced me to basically record Sundays only now, if I have a rescheduling problem with a guest, then I'm not going to be able to put out two shows that week. I depend on getting two shows recorded that Sunday. And if I can get them done, then we'll have two episodes that week. But if there's a rescheduling issue, unless I have one in the banks, which you're lucky I do this week, then we're not going to have two episodes. But this week we will have two episodes. I have a great guest coming up for you guys Wednesday. And let's see, what else do we have? I think that's it. That's it for announcements. This week, my guests in studio are Tommy Adams and Dave Tonegato. These guys are two local Detroit welders that I met at the Scrap Welding Festival in Detroit over the summer. And it was, you know, just a really cool experience. First off, it's a welding festival. I mean, how many welding festivals are there? There's not very many. They're very far and few between. And, you know, it was, I mentioned this in the actual episode, but it's, you know, it was really cool to see how many people were actually attracted to this, because this festival had on-site welding education where they were, you know, giving instruction on how to do basic welds, getting people interested in welding. They also had an on-site blacksmith. It was something that was just really, really cool. And so many people, because of the location that the actual festival was, people just walking by were just drawn to the sound of steel being beaten under the hammer and the actual sound of the arc going and drawing people in. It was something really cool. Not to mention all of the contestants in the actual festival. They had a contest for best bike. It was the most lit bike and the most one other category. But all the sculptors there had to make actual pieces of art out of bicycle parts, and whoever had the best one won. Dave Tonegato is one of the winners of that with his badass bird sculpture that he did, and I'm going to post these on Facebook and Instagram so you can check them out.
I'm joined in studio by Tommy Adams, and you got to forgive me, Dave Tonegato.
Yeah,
yes, right. I did it right. All right, props to me. Welcome to the studios, guys. It's absolutely awesome to have you here.
Thank you.
I met both of you at the Scrap Detroit Welding Festival that happened last summer, and it was the first time I was ever brought to anything like that. I'm like, first off, it's a welding festival. Like, they're very far and few between to have an actual welding festival. But it was very cool, and seeing some of the stuff that you brought, you know, the reason I invited you guys is because you guys had pieces that stuck out in my mind the most. Tommy, you had your badass skeleton bike, mm-hmm. and then Dave, you just had the brightest bird thing I've ever seen, you know. It had and the cool thing about it is that it was a festival that was all themed around stuff that had to be made out of bike parts, you know.
Right.
We'll start with you, Dave. Did you find any serious challenge when you had to be brought up with the task of sculpting something that was strictly out of bike parts? Like, how did you see the bird that just kind of came out of nowhere?
Well, like, they said it had to move in some way, and that's what made me nervous. I didn't even know what they wanted. Like, in the beginning, I was like, do I have to ride this thing? And I was like, no, it just has to move. And that's what made me think of the bird, because, like, I was trying to think, what can I make that would be cool that would move? And, like, I make a lot of different animal stuff, so
yeah,
that's what gave me the idea of the bird. I was like, oh, it'd be cool to make the wings flap, and just kind of went from there, you know, like, built, like, the basic frame for it, like, got the wings moving first. But that was, like, the whole idea for a bird was just the movement of it, you know?
Well, there was some real engineering in that, too, because, I mean, you're making it move from behind.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you've got the pedals in the back almost where you can stand and do it with your hand to make these things actually float up and down. And for everybody that might be a little in the dark about what I'm talking about, I posted this bird on the Arc Junkies Instagram page quite a few times, but I'll post it again. Especially because these guys are in studio, just so you can see it. But did you have to, like, sketch anything out for that to kind of figure out how to make it all work?
A little bit. I wish I still had the first sketch because it looked ridiculous. Like, only a few people seen it. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. But it was like, I made, like, the main frame of it. Like, it didn't really look artistic in the beginning because I wanted to make sure the wings and everything would move right.
Yeah.
And then kind of built around that to make sure everything would clear, and then kind of just went from there, just like it built itself. Like, I just kept putting pieces, and
that's cool.
Fit it all.
Was it all steel, or did you come across some, like, some chromoly bike frames, or what did it end up just being solid steel?
Yeah, everything I used was just steel. Like, and I was kind of mad, I had, like, a lot of aluminum rims, but at home I only had a MIG welder at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, man, I don't have any way to, like, weld any of this stuff. So it was like, I kind of knew that when we picked our pile of scrap, I was like one of the last people to pick. But I kind of thought, my brother was with me and he's brought it to my attention. He's like, a lot of these bikes are aluminum, like, they look cool and stuff, but
yeah,
he's like, you only have the MIG welder. So I was like, I kind of had that in mind and went for the pile that had, like, mostly steel, you know.
So did you guys, I mean, was there just a big community pile to choose from? Did they provide that?
Well, they had like a pile of bikes and a box of steel, and like you got to pick which box. Like you didn't get to sort through it. Like I want this box and this pile of bikes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like one of the last people there, so there's like two different boxes to pick from, like two piles of bikes, and I was like, okay, I just went with the one that had the most steel because, like I said, I only hit a MIG welder, so I didn't
couldn't
really do
anything. You made it work, though, man. You made it work. It looks great. Tommy, you kind of came in. Now, your bike is something straight out of Evil Dead. Like, it really is. It really is. I want to kind of pick your brain on this. What was the – now, you had already had this bike done prior to Scrap Festival, correct?
Right. I built the bike for Autorama. That would have been 2015, I believe, was the year I took that down there. And I hadn't had the bike out that much, so I heard on Facebook that they were going to give a cash prize for the most creative bike coming in and the most lit-up bike coming in. So a friend of mine said he was going to try for the most lit-up bike. And I said, well, I'm going to take my skeleton bike down there. And we ended up parking a few blocks away, and we rode him in. And it was a great reception. I had never been to a welding festival, and I was just amazed. I met Dave there. I met a whole bunch of people there, real interesting. They were giving welding courses at the festival. They were showing people. They had a bus with all kinds of equipment in it, and they were given instructions on how to run the MIG welder right there at the festival. They hooked you up with all the welding coat and a mask and everything. It was real great. And I told them I wanted to be in it this year. If they do it again this year, we're hoping they're going to do it this year. But yeah, I ended up winning second place. There was actually a bike. I guess it was more creative than mine. I'm not sure what the criteria ended up being, because they ended up giving away a lot more prize money for, I think they did like five bikes ended up with money because they had such a good turnout.
Yeah.
So I wasn't upset or anything. I didn't expect, you know, to win any money there. And the fact that I came home with anything, I was happy. And the bike got a really favorable reception coming in. So, yeah, it makes it worth doing, you know. I am going to have it at Autorama again this year. So if you guys want to stop by and see me, I'll be in the basement at Cobo Hall in Detroit.
Awesome.
In another 2 weeks.
I'm going to post some pictures of it, too, just so everybody that's listened to this, when this actually airs, they can see what we're talking about. Now, because you had this before Scrap Festival, and you said you built this for Autorama, correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, with that being the inspiration to build it, how did you kind of go about, you know, compiling this thing? Did you have a frame that you knew you were going to build with, or a certain style that you knew you wanted to go with, or how did that all kind of come together for you?
Well, when I found out that a friend of mine was taking over the custom bike show in Autorama, I actually said I wasn't going to do it that year, but he convinced me I should probably do it because it was going to be real cool now that he was running it. So I decided to build it, and it really was a concept I drew up on a notebook in high school. I built a similar one, was a skeleton just standing on a wheel holding a front wheel too, but it really wasn't a bike you could ride. And my inspiration to build it was I actually wanted one that I could ride. So it really was a kind of design as you go thing. I had the drawing, but I mean, it's really... I don't know. How do you design a human skeleton as a bike? It just kind of went, you know, I started with the backbone, added ribs, and then I came across the Schwinn OCC chopper. I ended up using the crank and the bottom bracket from it. As for bike parts, that was probably the only real bike part that went on that bike. Everything else was tubing I bought and bent and fashioned up. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just a labor of love. It's kind of, I've never really drawn many pictures for the things I build, because I could draw it, and it just probably isn't going to come out exactly the way I draw it. It's not really can't really make a blueprint for it.
Right. So you see it in your head and you kind of take it on that way.
Right.
And is that how you go about most of your projects? You just kind of see it and play with it as it goes to you piece by piece?
Yeah, I might.
Let it speak to you, if you will?
Yeah, I sometimes sketch out, you know, I'll sketch out a little sketch on paper, kind of give me a direction, you know, to go with it. But yeah, most of the stuff is just right out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's cool. You know, I forgot that part about what you said about the Scrap Festival having the actual welding education there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was another piece. By the time I got there, that had already ended.
Right.
And they had already packed up, but they still had a booth there with some pamphlets.
Yeah.
You know, to where you could go to or the actual school. I can't even remember the school, but
it
was.
I can't either.
I feel horrible now that I can't give them the props that they deserve. But they also had blacksmiths out there too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a live blacksmith demonstration,
mm-hmm.
and that's what really drew me in. I've had this absolute fascination with blacksmithing and bladesmithing, especially within the last 2 years. And I just had Alex Steele on the show not too long ago, who's mm-hmm. You know, extremely famous blacksmith on YouTube.
Right.
And you know, talking to him about being able to take a solid piece of steel in whatever shape it is and be able to heat it up and move it into whatever configuration or shape that you want to. I mean, it's not like playing God, but it's almost like, look at what I have formed.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, look at what I can do out of the something that was so hard and so immovable. You can change it and make it to whatever you want. I think that's just such a cool thing and something that really pushes me, you know, to learn the art of blacksmithing and bladesmithing. But you can also see how entrancing of an art welding, sculpting, blacksmithing all is just from that festival alone, because there was a lot of people like where it was. I mean, you're right across from the Shinola factory. You're right next to Motor City Brew Works. You had a lot of people that were more or less, you know, going to check out Shinola or going to get a good craft beer over at that bar. And the festival was just kind of there.
Yeah, right, but in the parking lot.
Yeah, but you saw so many people just kind of get drawn over by what's happening. I mean, they're hearing the sparks, they're seeing the, you know, the guys doing the actual blacksmith, they're hearing the anvils, you know, getting smashed. And it's really kind of a intoxicating and curiosity fed moment.
Yeah,
to where exactly. People are like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, and you bring it over, like, you don't really get to see that too often.
No.
You know, especially because it's like, oh, it's welding. A lot of people shrug it off. Oh, well, it's welding. Well, go actually look at what the process is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like how it's made live right in front of you. You know, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do with fire and hammers. I mean, I'm starting to get into that a little bit more. I don't have like a forge or an anvil or anything, but I do a lot of my own bending, you know, heating up with I just have a propane torch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good enough for the thin stuff I'm working with. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've always had a fascination with the blacksmithing too. I hope to one day be able to do something with it, or even just have somebody show me, you know, make a few little things. Maybe that'll be what the spark I need to get it going.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, the smell of the coal burning was in the air that they were using for their fire, and you could smell it as soon as you walked up in the area, and it was like, what is this?
Yeah. Yep.
I had no idea that was there either. I actually forgot about it until you brought it up. But yeah, that was really neat. It's good to see, you know, there's people still doing that. Art.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Keeping it alive, mm-hmm. man. Really keeping it alive. Because, it is for the most part, you know, stuff like that, you know, metalwork at that level, you know, and even in sculpting, like, you have to search that out. You have to find somebody that knows how to do that kind of stuff to show you, or you have to be self-taught. Because you have to just kind of get out there and figure it out. There's not really classes for this. If they are, it's every, you know, they might be here or there. It's not like a scheduled thing. And it's, you know, somebody who knows somebody that's like, oh, would you like to teach this class? Or somebody just puts it out there like, oh, hey, right. I do metal sculpting at, you know, so-and-so's metal sculpting class at their house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not really out there. You have to find it. You have to search it out. And it says something about a person in general that, you know, if they really want this, they have to really kind of find it. It's not given to you in any way. It's earned every step of the way. I think that's what really speaks to us as tradesmen and craftsmen about metalwork is you earn it every step of the way.
And it is really – I've seen like in my work alone, I've seen the evolution of, you know, I look at my early stuff, which has really very little shape to it, to now I'm like shaping each piece. And before I put it on, I'm making sure it fits right. And before I used to just, hey, look at that. Hey, I welded these two things together and they kind of resemble a dog. You know, now I'm going, hey, I can make that ear look better, and I'm going to give them a more realistic nose. And it is really just the more you do it, the more you learn better ways of to shaping the metal and cutting it. And it really is constant learning. I like to challenge myself too, so I don't want to just make stuff for the sake of making it. I want to actually challenge myself to making something that's a little more difficult each time, I think, and getting more where I'm making my pieces somewhat interactive, kind of like Dave's. You know, you pedaled it, and that's kind of probably why I like the bike so much is because you can, ride them and show them off, and people come up and ask, where did you get it? And you tell them you made it, and they're like, what do you mean you made it? And you say, I have a welder, and grinders and
IR welder. IR make things.
Exactly.
So Dave, how do you go about finding your inspiration for the pieces that you make? Because you make all kinds of cool stuff. That raccoon that you just did, man.
Yeah.
That was so sick. Absolutely so sick. What goes in your thought process? I mean, do you just look at some stuff, see some shapes and go from there, or how does it happen for you?
Most of the things I've made in the past, it's like I just see a piece of metal like in my garage, or like I'm always working on cars and stuff, so I just always got junk around. And a lot of the ideas, it's like I actually have the idea because I'm just daydreaming, staring at something. I'm like, you know, I think, oh, that looks like this, or it could be this, and that it's like the idea just kind of comes about on its own. You know, there's only been a few things ever. Like I actually like had a plan before I seen the metal, like the bird I talked about, like I, because the movement, I planned it, you know. But most things, it's like I just look at a piece of metal, and like I made a dinosaur out of like a welding clamp, but it's like as soon as I seen that, I'm like, oh, it looks like a dinosaur, and it's like I can't wait to make it. Like I have to make it, you
That's
know?
That's awesome. Yes. That's very cool. That's very cool. This all kind of turns around to the main, you know, drive of the show, where I really like to ask everybody, you know, what was your journey to the arc? What was your journey to welding? How you got involved in welding, and what made you continue in the trade? So, Dave, I want to start with you. How long have you been welding, and what more or less drove you to pick that as a trade?
Well, it's funny. We're actually talking about bicycles. The first thing I ever welded, I was making this little chopper bicycle. I was probably 16, maybe 17. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I lived at home with my parents. My dad had a little MIG welder, and I was just bored, you know, decided I'm going to make this little chopper bicycle. And it was pretty basic, just like long forks. And it actually started like a BMX bike. So thinking back, it probably looked hideous, but I put the long front end on it. And it was like, my dad had the welder, and I asked him if I could use it, and he just kind of said, go ahead, don't break it or anything. Yeah. But I was like, can you show me? And he's, oh, you'll figure it out, you know. And at the time, I was like, come on, show me. But I think that was the best way for me to learn, you know. Yeah. I went back and forth in the house a couple times, like, it's popping and doing this crazy sound. And you know, you have to wire speed up too far. Like, I just played with it. But I think, honestly, that was the best way for me to learn. It's like you're learning your own way of doing it without just being told, don't do this, don't do that.
Right,
like, you learn kind of what works best for you and just figure it out on your own, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way it was explained to me is, you know, there's their general way to make sure certain things are done that everybody has to do. But as far as your technique, you know, there's as many techniques to welding as there are welders welding.
Yeah.
You know, there really is. You know, not everybody has the exact same. Something might be similar, but it's not the exact same. You might whip a little differently than I whip. You might dab a little differently than I dab. You know, everybody's got their own individual style to how they see the metal move, you know, really. So, I mean, I see where you're coming from, being able to actually figure it out yourself and figure out like, oh, hey, well, that's definitely not the way to do it, you know, for sure. And how old were you when you said this?
Like 16 or 16, 17.
Yeah, okay. All right, perfect age to get in there and start messing with stuff.
You know, even as a kid, I was never like the video game type. My brothers were like, even as a young kid, I'd make just weird stuff out of wood. Like, I'm going to make a cart for the back of my bicycle. Like, you know, as a little kid, like, I just always like messing with stuff. Even to this day, that's just what I do for entertainment, you know.
Build the cart to put all the chicks in, you know, for the neighborhood, right, with your bike. What about you, man? Where did it all kind of start for you?
Well, I got a degree in automotive technology, and I had a job interview for Chrysler, and it was for building emissions cars for Jeep. And on the interview, the guy who ended up becoming my supervisor asked me if I knew how to weld, and I kind of said, well, no, but I can learn quick. And I really wanted the job, and he said, well, I suggest you get a class because you will be welding in here. And I remember going home, and I was very excited to tell my wife, I get to learn to weld. And looking around in some of the colleges in the area, not a lot of places offered it. It was very strange that when I actually went to try and find a welding class, I couldn't find one. But ended up finding an adult education basic welding class at Walled Lake Community College, and I went up there, and it was an 8-week course, 2 days a week. And I told the guy I need a crash course in TIG welding. And he said, well, let me run you through all the other styles real fast, and I'll get you on a TIG machine. And it just went from there. In fact, the first beads I laid down, he just kind of put me in the room, set the machine up, and I started going. And he said, I'll be back in about 10 minutes, see how you're doing. And he came back in, and he said, are you sure you've never done this before? And I said, why is this? Is this how it's supposed to look? And he was like, those welds are fantastic. So I was like, wow, I actually achieved something difficult on the first try.
Had the eye for it.
So I kind of, you know, it gave me the encouragement to continue on. And before the class was up, I actually had him show me a little bit of aluminum, how to set the machine up. And those welds didn't come out that great, but just the fact of trying it and kind of doing it and learning a little bit of the technique was enough to, when I actually tried to do it on my job, when somebody brought me something aluminum, I said, well, I don't know how to do it, but I'll give it a try. And I set the machine up the best I could, and I laid a pretty decent bead. It was enough for, you know, it was good enough for the job that he needed done. And I ended up just pretty much becoming the shop welder because I excelled at it at work, and they wanted people that – we had a lot of welding to do, so they wanted people that could weld, and they just kept feeding me jobs. And pretty soon I was doing way more welding than being a mechanic, and it was kind of strange because I almost seemed like I forgot how to work on cars. And it was all right. You know, I didn't mind it, even though that's what I got my degree in. I kind of found the welding to be a lot more interesting, and I started to, you know, make little gifts for people, you know, out of nuts and bolts and things, and it just kind of blossomed from there, you know. I'd make, you know, a lot of little junk sculptures, and sometimes you couldn't find that piece you needed for the, you know, to finish it, so I started to make my own little pieces, and... Mm-hmm. And then, that, you know, it just kind of blossomed from there. And now I use very little junk in the sculptures and more pieces that I make myself because I find the fabrication part of it equally as interesting as the welding.
Mm-hmm.
But, don't do it for a living anymore. I welded for Chrysler for 20 years, and I've actually went back to a mechanic job with I do a little bit of welding. They still bring me some special jobs here and there, and there's not a lot of guys out there that at my place of employment that do aluminum welding. So they're still feeding me aluminum jobs, which is nice because I like to stay, you know, in good practice doing the aluminum because it's a little tougher.
Absolutely.
But I do enjoy – I think I like the aluminum more than the steel anymore just because of the challenge involved with it.
I do too, man. TIG aluminum is my absolute favorite process and metal to work with, 100%. Yeah. I love it. It's clean. It's loud, but it's clean, and it's fun. You know, and you're right. It is different than watching steel. You know, it might be a little bit more difficult. But if you sit there and you do nothing but weld TIG aluminum for a week, 2 weeks, and then you go back to steel, you know, you're like, oh, wait a minute. This moves a little differently here. I got to do this.
Exactly.
So with art being such a dynamic force in life, I mean, art infects everything. It infects a million different mediums, okay? There's art in painting. There's art in architecture. There's art in welding. With it being such a dynamic force, why do you think that art and welding work together so well? This is a question for both of you. So whoever wants to take the mic first, please go ahead. Why do you think that it's such an important thing to be able to express yourself, not just on paper, but through metal?
I think I just like working with metal because, like I said, messing with cars for a hobby, motorcycles, like I'm around metal. So it's like that's what kind of got me into art, you know, now that I make metal art, like it's like I appreciate more art like paintings and stuff that I never used to be interested in, but it's like I'm just around metal all day, you know, and just you can make anything you want out of it. Like Tommy said, like if you don't have something, you can shape it, you can do whatever, you can grind it, you know, it's like you can, if you have the motivation, you can turn almost anything into whatever you want, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just fun, you know?
What about you?
I think, well, with the metal art, it seems like the things you can make with it, it's just there's no end to the possibilities, I guess, because, you know, you can really get into some fine metal work, you know, real good detail. I don't know. I just like it, I guess. I like the sound of it, the feel of it. I like the heat from it. I like just the smell. I don't know. You don't get that from other art forms. The hands-on, the, you know, you have to do everything to it. It starts out as a flat piece of metal or a piece of round stock, and you have to shape it into whatever you're trying to make. So, I don't know. Painting... I love painting, but painting, if you make a mistake, you just, I guess you could just paint over it. Whereas welding, when you make a mistake, you have to grind it off, cut it, you know, do all this and reshape it and rethink it. So I don't know. I guess I just like its permanence. You look at something made out of metal and you know that's probably going to be around for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's the longevity of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like things made out of wood, it might be around for a couple hundred years if it's taken very good care of.
Mm-hmm.
But metal, you can literally, you know, leave it outside in the weather. Sometimes that actually makes it look better, too.
Right on.
But, that's just I've always enjoyed art, and when I realized I could make stuff out of metal, I just kind of switched directions.
Very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Guys, it was an absolute pleasure having you in here and talking about the actual artistic side of this, because this is something that, you know, I'm still dabbling in. I'm starting to get used to it. I've never done actual metal sculpting, but if I'm diving into blacksmithing and bladesmithing, you got to kind of start somewhere, because that's metal forming in artistic ways in its own, you know.
Yes,
so, again, awesome to have you here.
Thanks,
Tommy, please go ahead and plug your social media, and then Dave, go ahead, plug yours, and so that way people can get a hold of you after the show.
On Facebook, it's Tommy Adams Art, and that's ATOMS. And on Instagram, it's Tommy_Adams, ATOMS, the same.
Mine's pretty basic. It's just my name on Instagram, at Dave Tonegato. And on Facebook, I have Tonegato Creative Metalworks. And that's it, man.
All right. Guys, thanks so much for coming in. Cheers.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, anytime.
Good time.
All right, everybody, that's it for this week. Thank you so very much for listening. If you'd like to email the show, please feel free, arcjunkies@gmail.com. Also, if you are an Apple iTunes listener, please make sure to hit subscribe. That way you never miss an episode. Also, please feel free to leave a review because your reviews ultimately help this show reach more people and get up higher on the rankings. Again, thank you so very much for listening. This podcast is available wherever podcasts are downloaded, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, and brand new to Radio Public. The show is a proud affiliate of the Podcast Detroit Network. I am off to clock in and keep building America. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, work safe and weld hard.